Father, thank you for this morning. I pray you bless this message. I pray you use it for your glory. And I pray, Father, we'll walk away rejoicing in you. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked about three different messages so far. This is the fourth and the last message on being uncomfortable. We have the uncomfortable change we embrace for kingdom work progress. We have to be willing to progress and change as a church in order to be that much more effective for kingdom work. Then the next message was the uncomfortable cross we carry as a progress toward Christ's likeness. The more we carry the cross that God has for us, in other words, the more that we endure the specific challenges and pain and struggle and all that comes with life that God allows us to experience, not just spiritual, but physical and emotional as well, all of it collectively, the more we carry that cross faithfully, the more we become like Christ. His character is developed in and through us. The third message was the uncomfortable people we learn to unconditionally love like Christ. And what I love about that particular message in particular is that we learn to love God more and each other more. But it's only through faith. Only through faith can we actually accomplish these things and gain these rewards. It's kind of like looking on one side, you see this uncomfortable message. It's kind of like, I really don't want to talk about that. I really don't want to think about that. I'm really not. Can we go somewhere else besides being uncomfortable? But through faith, through that uncomfortable challenge, we find the reward, which is very rich. God's kingdom work progressing, becoming more like Christ, and loving God and others more than we ever could before. Praise God for that. And so being uncomfortable for Christ is what? It's in the arena, and I'm going to say arena, of suffering for Christ. Because if I'm uncomfortable, you know, that implies I can handle being uncomfortable. If I squirm a little, no big deal, right? But if I'm suffering, that's another issue. And so being uncomfortable is not the depth of suffering. And yet God will call us to suffer for him. And when we suffer through the challenges of the ministry changes, when we suffer through the pain of our personal cross, and when we suffer through the struggles of our relationships and circumstances in life, God can be glorified in that. God will reveal to us his blessings for our faithfulness through it. And that should encourage us. That should motivate us to say, you know what? No matter what, I'm walking with Jesus. He's with me, and he's got great and wonderful things even in store for me for my faithfulness in him. In Romans 8:18 and verse 25, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." And so I love that one verse in verse 18, that the very sufferings that we experience here on earth, and I'm gonna say as a Christian, I want to paint this picture. Some will say, okay, well, this is just in regard to suffering spiritually. Or others will say, well, it's not about your physical suffering or your emotional suffering. I've heard that too on this verse. But I think that as Christians, no matter what we're suffering, emotional, physical, or spiritually, that our faith is paramount in walking through it successfully. Right? And so we have to be willing to go through that suffering, and that's part of that cross that he has us to carry, but to compare that with what God has in store for us is not comparable. It's just, we can't even weigh up. If you had a scale and we said all the suffering and pain is on this side, and here's what God has in store for us, we could never put enough stuff on this side of the scale to even begin to even move just a little bit this side of the scale of the blessing that God has given us. And that should help us to realize, hey, you know what? This is only temporary. This is only a short time. This is only a short run compared to eternity and what God has in store for us. And so I can say, and you can say, okay, Lord, this is tough, but you know what? You're with me. You're my strength. You've promised me wonderful things in you yet to come. And this is the journey you have for me. And through that, I can be faithful. Verse 25 again says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." That's the hope, isn't it? To title of the message is Uncomfortableness for the Glorious Hope. Are you willing, and am I willing, are we willing to suffer uncomfortable things in lieu of the fact that we have a glorious hope in Christ Jesus? In lieu of the fact that we have been saved by grace through faith, in lieu of the fact that we have a real relationship with Jesus and eternal life promised to us, that we're going to be glorified with Christ, that every believer in Christ will receive every part of the inheritance that the Father gives the Son. Wow! That what the Father gives the Son as an honor to Him, His inheritance, you and I will take part in. But more than that, every one of us that faithfully endures suffering for the cause of Christ will gain even extra honor than just the inheritance. And that's a praise. That's a praise. And so we can wait for that. We can persevere through the struggles, no matter what it is. We know people have gone through tremendous things and have kept their faith. So because of this hope, we can't keep our lives focused on a right perspective. I belong to the Lord. We can say that. This life is not mine. It belongs to God. It's been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. My life is yours, Lord. Whatever path you have is a path you have. And in that, I can persevere. We were talking about this morning. There are several that said, I didn't want to come to Kalinga. You know, when they moved to this area. Kalinga, you got to be kidding. Really, Kalinga? But yet, God brought us here. Steve was saying, well, Debbie and him, he was saying, well, maybe 3 years in Kalinga. Kathy and I were saying, well, maybe 2 to 5 years, but no more than 5 years in Kalinga. God has his plan and his purpose, but you know, Kalinga may have looked desolate, but really Kalinga is a blessing. It may be uncomfortably hot, but there's some blessings. Amen. It may be small, but what a rich blessing of a small community. Far more than I think than the negative side of a small community. And so there's wonderful blessings through even that simple type of challenge of suffering or giving up or sacrificing for the cause of Christ. But we can keep a proper perspective and say, you know what? I'm in the will of God. I know that I'm in the will of my Father. I know that I'm being faithful to Him. I know that whatever He allows because He loves me. I think about Job. God told Satan, you can do anything you want to torment Job, but you can't kill him. Because God knew that Job was faithful and a righteous man. So whatever God allows to come our way is because He has more faith in us than we do in ourselves. And He knows, because He's God, He knows everything, past, present, future, everything. And He knows where our faith lies. And so we can praise Him for that. The world we live in today is dark and contrary to God. And that's just goes without saying. That's common knowledge for us as Christians. The world is in opposition against God. But the truth is, and we know, and we're being reminded this morning, that when we make the decision to stand and be uncomfortable or even suffer for standing for Christ in a world that's in opposition to God, we're going to face some difficulties. But it's worth it. When God calls us to stand, when God says you stand on this principle of my word, regardless of how much heat you may get from it. It's kind of like what I said in the beginning of the message. You know what? This is not a political statement, but even if it was, it'd be okay in my opinion. Because in the early church, in the early years, the church was that which was used to put out those political stances based upon the word of God. Not a popular thought today. It's separate. But God is involved in everything. And we as His children are to be involved in everything. So in a way, I could take the heat for saying that. You know, don't you dare mention politics. Right? But you know what? We're involved by God to be able to stand in every arena of life as God would have us to do so. And so when we follow Him, we'll always be engaging in uncomfortable circumstances. Write it down. Remember it. Don't forget it. Expect it. Live it. Accept it. Resolve it. I'm going to be uncomfortable my entire life when I genuinely follow Christ and commit to living for Him. Every day, walking with Jesus. Some days, you feel like a spiritual giant. Man, it's going great spiritually. Some days you feel like a spiritual flop and your day's not going as well. But faith carries us through to the next day. And we're to know that we will be facing those uncomfortable and suffering type of situations in our lives. We're to keep our focus on Him and the glory and honor that we have with Him. We have glory and honor with Him. I don't know about you. Does this help you at all to think about this? That when we are suffering, when we're uncomfortable, when we take the stand out of love for Jesus, out of faith in Him, to be His people in a contrary way to the world, that God honors us. Listen to that. Mind-boggling reality. God honors you and me in heaven. We will be called out and honored because of our steadfast faith and commitment to Jesus, to stand for Him and to endure whatever comes our way. And so we can praise Him for that because, hey, you know, no matter how dark, how deep, how ugly, whatever, you want to fill it in any way you want, when we're faithful all the way through it, when we suffer for Him, we will be glorified and honored with Him. We receive an inheritance, the same, the Father gives the inheritance to the Son, and everything the Father gives the Son is an inheritance you and I will share in. But everything that we suffer for Christ for faithfully, we will be honored and glorified by God the Father Himself. I mean, can you imagine standing in heaven and God honoring us? Incredible. That's part of that thing that we don't expect, right? And yet God knows and God will honor us. And so He encourages us to walk with Him faithfully no matter what stands before us. Think about all the terrible things. How many schools have been shot up? No disrespect in the way I say that. How many school shootings have we had this year alone? How many families have lost their children or friends or whatever, or teachers, whatever? How many of those that chose to surfaced to the top in faith? How many did you see that they were a devout Christian, they were known for their faith? The impact of their faith through such tragedy. The challenge of the family and friends that are left behind to keep that faith, to follow the example. I remember the one girl on the screen, she was known as a very faithful, loving, Christian young lady. Picture of her holding her Bible. She had shared her testimony. It was solid and true. She was killed. Can you imagine what the family or siblings and everybody else going through? But can you even imagine more the steadfastness of that young lady's life and her faith in God, encouraging them to stand in faith as well? Those are the sufferings. Those are the pit of suffering. But when we're faithful through it, God will honor us. And here give us glory, a sense of glory. We'll be glorified, lifted up in His presence, in the presence of all people. And that's, again, another. I do that not because it's just not just fun, but because it's kind of impacting to me, because it's kind of like I can't grab hold of it. I can't grab hold of it. And so we're to keep our focus on Him. We're going to know that we're going to be glorified and honored with Him when we suffer for Him. We're to walk faithfully with Him no matter what stands for before us. And so I want to encourage you to memorize Romans 8:18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not to be worthy to be compared with the glory that God has in store for us. That's a balance. I say that loosely. That's a backdrop. I say that loosely. That's a solid rock. We say, this weight and suffering cannot even compare to what God has in store for our faithfulness to Him. God's glorious promise of hope given to each of us is a comfort that far exceeds the worldly culture and challenge we live in today. Those who lost their loved ones that know they were Christians, they know where they're at. That's not a hope. I hope I see them. That's an assurance that you will see them. Right? What a glorious hope. Right? What a glorious comfort. It exceeds what the world could even begin to comfort us with. So God's glorious promise of hope given to each of us is a comfort that far exceeds the worldly culture and challenge we live in today. And so we raise above. We rise above. Not by our own strength, not by our own power, but by the faith that God allows us to have in Him and by His strength and His power. The church is the body of Christ. When we as a church stand in opposition to the world and its morals and its values, we're going to be uncomfortable. Now, there's two ways to be uncomfortable there. In Sunday school, we were talking about it, about it's uncomfortable to share your faith because it's a warfare. The devil doesn't want us to. We're challenged. God shows us an opportunity, and we either yield to it or we don't. But it's scary. But I can do all things through Christ. Lord, I'm scared to death. Will you help me to do this? Because I'm going to take a step of faith to do that right now. And I can't do it without you, so I need you to do that right now. And as we do that, God does it. And we go, wow. Look what God just did. We follow through on His strength and on His power. We'll always be uncomfortable for standing on the truth and the moral truth of God's word, won't we? But you know what? That uncomfortableness or that suffering, how many churches have had people go in there and been shot by people that don't like Christians? And we know prophetically that's going to get worse. Are we willing to stand and suffer for Christ? We're to stand true to Him personally, socially, and publicly. In every aspect of our life, stand true for Him. It's almost like saying something that we know these things to be true. It sounds simplistic. It sounds mundane. It sounds normal. Yeah, I got it. You're not telling me anything new. But here's the question. Is it easy, regardless of what we know? No, definitely not. Here's a quote. The best witness Christians can offer to a post-Christian America is simply to be the church, as fiercely and creatively a minority as we can manage. Too many of our churches function as secular entertainment centers with religious morals slapped on top, when they should be functioning as the living, breathing body of Christ. We will need to commit ourselves more deeply to our faith, and we will need to do that in ways that seem odd to contemporary eyes. And that was by Rod Dreher, The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. The church has a choice to either become more complacent and the more watered down and the more obscure for the sake of getting more, or to be the people that God has called us to be, to stand in His word and to defend Him and who He is and to share the love of God regardless of the heat that comes our way. The promise that we have of hope makes all the uncomfortable suffering worth it. I mean, really, doesn't it? I think about friends that have gone on to heaven already, and I'm thinking, man, what are they experiencing? What are they experiencing? It's got to be just incredible. I mean, you can't grab it, can you? Can't grab it. Everything's in much more clearer perspective. There's no more sinful nature. There's so much joy. The relationship you have with those that are there is perfect. I mean, it goes on and on and on, and you're thinking, well, I've been chosen of God to be God's people, a child of God, in a world of darkness that requires suffering like Jesus suffered, and we're to expect that because Jesus said, if I suffered and if they killed me, they're going to do the same thing to you, that we embrace that with confidence and resolve that that's the way it's going to be when we stand up and live for Jesus. Comparing that to what God has for us in heaven is nothing. I would venture to say the flip side of the coin are those that reject Christ, that know what's up there in heaven when they die, are saying, what in the world was I thinking? Possibly. Abraham's bosom, right? And then Hades, Old Testament picture. They knew those that were saved and waiting to go to heaven, and Christ did the work on the cross. And they know those that said, there's no other, I can't change my mind, I'm here. My judgment is secured. I'm sure that they were thinking as they saw each spectrum, what have I done? No hope. You and I can go through whatever, and we have the marvelous hope of what we've just talked about. In Revelation 19, 6 and 7, it says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. This is a revelation that God the Father gives John that he was instructed to write for you and I. Christ is the head of the church, we're the body. Christ is the groom, and we're the bride. Now, I don't know about you, but any man that's head over heels in love with his wife, the bride, when she comes walking down that aisle, it's just an incredible time. It's just beyond. It's another one of those, poof, okay, moments. And you see her walking down the aisle, and you're just beaming. I think about the cartoon character, the chest starting to come out and the buttons popping, you know. You're just beaming because look at her. That's my bride. Isn't she glorious? Isn't she marvelous? Isn't she beautiful? Man, is she decked out. Wow, what a woman. We're the bride. That's how God looks at us. The Son, Jesus, he looks at you and I and he goes, wow, that's my bride. That is my bride. When I'm involved with wedding ceremonies and I knock on the door, is the bride ready? Sometimes, no! Okay, is it time? No! We're not ready yet to walk that aisle in heaven. And I know this is kind of mythical. I know it's kind of an obscure picture. But when we're all together in heaven before God, there's a wedding feast that's going to take place. And I don't know about you, my bride looked beautiful walking down that aisle, but she's more beautiful now to me, being that we're married. Yeah. There's the external, and there's the knowing the person and the personality that has only so much limit to it before you're actually married and become one. But when you become one, when you're married, we learn deeper truth and understanding and value in each other that is richer than we ever had before we actually said, I do. And so we can praise God for that. That's what we're going to experience in heaven. We think we know him. We know him. We do. But not like he wants us to. Not like we're going to. And he knows us completely as we are. But when we're together, it's going to be another... like, wow, I never thought it could be like this. So again, when you're uncomfortable for standing for Christ, when we're uncomfortable with circumstances that God allows to come into our life, that break our heart, or that whatever it does to us that requires us to be humble before God and call on him, that suffering does not compare to the wow factor of what God is going to do for us. And so because of that, we can say, God, this is nothing. Though it feels like everything, it's nothing because of who you are in my life and what hope I have. And so I'm trusting you to carry me straight through. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters, that's all of us, and as the sound of mighty thundering saying, hallelujah, or praise the Lord, for the Lord God, omnipotent or all power reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. All ready, all clean, all perfected, absolutely ready. God has sacrificed and provided everything that we need that would be necessary for us to be his bride. Provided everything we need. We will be perfectly unblemished. We're not going to have any sinful nature. We're not going to have anything that's wrong. We're going to be made perfect and complete in Christ. What God began to do in us, he will bring it to completion. So we'll be perfectly unblemished and beautiful in every way, a showcase of his love for us. Now, only the Holy Spirit can convey to you and I how magnificent that's going to be, even in a little glimpse. But it should help us to shift our focus from the here, the now, the dark, the pain, the suffering, to the then, the thou, the wow factor in the glory of God and what he's going to do. To be made ready, quote unquote, as the bride of Christ is an uncomfortable, life-changing process of sacrifice. Let me read that again. To be made ready as the bride of Christ is an uncomfortable, life-changing process of sacrifice. We already said if we stand for Christ, accept the fact. If we're living for Christ, accept the fact, resolve the fact, we're going to be uncomfortable in a world of darkness. But we also need to accept the fact that as we're living and we're believers, we're his children, God's working in our life to change us, and that life-changing experience is sacrificial, uncomfortable, suffering, and painful sometimes. But he's working to change us. We embrace an uncomfortable faith, an uncomfortable church. What I mean by that is that the world sees us and we're uncomfortable to the world. We don't fit the world standard, right? That's what I mean by that. We embrace an uncomfortable faith. It's not accepted in the world. An uncomfortable church, not accepted in the world. An uncomfortable world, we're in that world. It's uncomfortable. And we see these things, but we are to be encouraged, to take courage. Because of what? Because of the hope and the promise, the glorious hope that we have in God forever. I can't emphasize enough, and I can't rely on my own ability to try to communicate this, but I do rely on the Holy Spirit to do it. When you and I are standing in heaven on that holy ground before God, and that faith is now a reality, we're before him, we're going to look back on our life and go, man, I wish I would have stood more. Man, I didn't realize what God was doing. God says we persevere even though we don't see clearly now because of our faith and love for him and his promise. Revelation 19:8 says, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Did you catch that last part? The fine linen of the bride are the righteous acts of the saints. When we live as God calls us to do, it's like that fine linen being woven into the wedding gown. So when he sees us and he sees the bride, he's seeing the works of righteousness that he's done in and through us as we have obeyed through faith. And he's going, wow. Wow. Look at that. So, we will be at last the perfect church and unblemished bride. We're not perfect now, and we're not a perfect bride now. But one day we will be. We place ourselves in uncomfortable situations. We step out of our comfort zones, right, if we choose to, because we have such a glorious hope of the truth of God's promise. Being uncomfortable is not bad. Being uncomfortable is just being uncomfortable. But let God use that so that he will be glorified by it and hold on to the promise that he's given us, because we have a tremendous blessing that's yet to come that we don't realize today. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I thank you, dear Holy Spirit, that, you know, only you can carry the truth of your word to our hearts. No man, no person on earth can communicate to the heart the spiritual truth of your word. Only you can do that, dear Holy Spirit. Only you. And so I pray that that communication has been made today. That we're going to be uncomfortable. We're going to suffer. And we don't like it. But if we keep the proper perspective for a short time and compare it to the wonderful things that you have in store, the honor and glory that you're going to give us for being willing to suffer for you, being willing to be uncomfortable as we face the change and development that you make in our life, that we will be honored, we will be glorified in ways that we can't comprehend, that will last for eternity, not for a moment. So help us to keep things in the right balance. Help us to look heavenly, heavenward, and not look at the things that drag us down. And to love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, and our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.